Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Woo! Good morning, everybody. Welcome. You guys can be seated. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. Just want to say a welcome to all of you that are guests with us. So excited that you're here. I'm going to go ahead and toss it out to Pastor Matt. We got a very special thing happening this morning. He's out in the foyer. I'm just going to go ahead and toss it out there.
All right, thank you and welcome to worship today. We're so glad that you are a part of the community of faith here at the Southwest. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for the money that you give us. Lord, it's because it does come from you. I know we have jobs and we work and we do those things, but Lord, it's because of you that we get to enjoy it. Lord, it's because of you that we have the resources. Lord, you have provided for us. And so, Lord, as you ask for some of that back, to be able to do the ministry of the kingdom. And really, you don't need the money. What you're asking for is our faithfulness. You're asking for a response to your request. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful. And Lord, when we have the idea that there's just no way we can make ends meet without that you have asked for, Lord, I pray that you would show us a way and that you would provide. Lord, so we would see your faithfulness to us long before we ever respond in faithfulness to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have two things. Actually, I want to pray again. I didn't pray for those in the wake of the hurricane down in the Gulf, and there's lots of people in harm's way around the world, and so I don't want to be remiss in not praying for them. Also, lots of fires and things that have gone on, even in New Mexico, in our own backyard. And so I just feel a real call to pray for them. So let's do that. Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't think about it earlier. Lord, I'm sorry that we get into such a routine, or I get into such a routine, Lord, that I forget to broaden my horizons around the world to see what you see. Lord, for my heart to break where your heart breaks. Lord, I know that you didn't cause these things to happen, but Lord, you are responding when we come to you. And so, Lord, for those right now, Lord, experiencing just the destruction and devastation, Father, the families that are feeling that loss in their life from those that have been killed, Father, for those that are in the path of harm's way. Lord, that you would just, your Holy Spirit would just, that provision that I just talked about with our money, Lord, that the provision of your Spirit, Lord, would infiltrate those places. Lord, people need some wisdom to move out of the way. Father, people need resources to rebuild. People need resources to even move out of the way. Father, and so we just ask for your mercy and your grace over those places. Lord, we're thankful for the rain that comes with it and all of that, but Lord, we know that there's just a lot of hurt and heartache that comes along with it. And Lord, so you be the Lord, and Lord, and you take care of it. Lord, for all those around the world and even in our own backyard, Lord, for those that are in harm's way and experience that destruction and hurt and loss, Lord, be with them as well. Lord, and show us, Lord, not that we would just pray for them. Show us how we can be a part of their lives, how we can help them. Lord, how we can also be a resource. And Lord, and we make our prayer in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So emotional expectations. If you want the sermon notes today, you can download them there. There's a QR code about to pop up in just a minute. You can scan that as well. We're going to talk about Samson today, the story of Samson in the Old Testament. Many of you may know it when it comes to Samson and Delilah, but there's so much more to it. You may have never heard of Samson, so I'm going to give you just a quick rundown of the whole story. Unless y'all want to stay until about 4 this afternoon, we can read most of Judges and all of the chapters and get the story, but I figured you'd rather take my synopsis. Some of you are saying yes, and some of you are like, I don't care. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. And so James cuts me off back there because, yeah, the power of the sound engineer. Yes, yes. I'm going to read some of this because, I know the story, but it could get long, and so I want to stay pointed today and just give you the highlights. Samson lived in a land that God had given to the Israelites, to the children of God, into the promised land. But you have to remember that even though they went into the promised land, the place where God had promised them, that people were still against them, right? You have promises in your life, but still things happen. And so this was true for them. We're going to particularly talk about the Philistines today. But God had a special plan for a man named Samson. And so when he was, when his mom became pregnant with Samson, she said, God said to her, you're going to raise him as a Nazarite, which there were some things that came along with that. Three of them were, don't cut his hair, right? No razor shall ever touch his head. Another one was what he ate and what he drank. And then another one was not to marry outside of their faith, okay? And so there were others, but those are the three biggies. It was not something that Samson chose. It was a calling on his life. That is true for all of us, okay? I know that I took the calling to be a pastor, but I didn't choose it, right? God gave that to me. And there were some others that went along with that, but we won't get into that. Sadly, Samson violated some of those things in his calling, and there were consequences for that. Same for us, and so hear that. One of those, when it says don't marry outside of your faith, well, Samson, he just didn't try to marry outside of his faith. He was chasing women outside of his faith, and I'm just going to say that for today. He saw a Philistine woman, and he wanted her, and in his impulsiveness to try to get her also showed his temper. I hope you know that sometimes with our impulses, we also have a temper. Look at the person next to you and said, it's you, it's not it's me, it's not you. Right, I almost said, it's you, it's not me. That's just going to have marital strife, and I don't want to start that today. And this Philistine woman tricked him and deceived him to get some information out of him. And then he got mad. He retaliated. There's a whole thing that goes along with this. But when he retaliated, Samson was strong. He was a big man. He was one of the strongest men we know in all of Scripture, maybe in all of humanity. And how he got even with those that tricked him, he captured 300 foxes. He must have lived in Southwest Lubbock, because that's all I see right now. 300 foxes, and he tied their tails together, two at a time, right? Two foxes, and then he tied a lit torch to the foxes' tails, and then he let them loose in the grain fields. That's pretty ingenious, isn't it? I mean, I think that's just like, that's a boy's heart that just wants to blow things up. Amen? 4th of July. Yeah, I mean, that's just Samson. And as he did that, he destroyed all of their crops, okay? The Philistines retaliated against Samson and burned Samson's wife and her household and just all this other stuff. And then, so he single-handedly, right, he himself said, I'm going to war against the Philistines. And so there's this whole thing that goes on. The Israelites said, we don't want a war with the Philistines. Please stop. He agreed to be bound by his own people and turned over to the Philistines as a peace offering to stop the war. Okay, they did. He went. Samson got inside the area of the Philistines. He broke the ties. He killed a bunch of people. He did all these other things. He took the jawbone of a donkey and he single-handedly killed 1,000 of them. And just all sorts of things happened there as well, okay? Now, the single war against the Philistines lasted for like 20 years, long time. He was a judge during this time. It really started his reign as a judge, and he did all of these things. But yet, while Samson was so disobedient to God, God still used Samson. Anybody sign up for that? Yeah, all of us are disobedient, but yet God still uses us if we let him. At one point, Samson was in the city of Gaza. Anybody ever heard of Gaza? Yeah, still going on. He was surrounded by Philistines, And they were going to try to capture him and kill him or put him in prison, whatever they wanted to do. Now, let me tell you why Samson was in Gaza. He was chasing another woman, right? He had a problem. This was his mode. This is the way he operated. He was trying to find a certain prostitute in Gaza. But he got up in the middle of the night. He went to the city gates after he thought he was surrounded. He ripped the city gates off of their hinges. Now, listen to me. Imagine a medieval castle in giant wooden gates. We're not talking little wooden doors like this. We're talking big enough to drive a truck through, right? I mean, big gates. He ripped them off, put them on top of his head or his shoulder. He carried them, and he took them away from the city. See, now that was not a good thing for them because that created vulnerability. If your city gates were destroyed, you were susceptible to all sorts of invasions and all sorts of horrible things. But again, he demonstrated his strength. Here's what I want to say. Samson had a problem with self-control. Amen? He just kept on and kept on and kept on. It didn't matter if it was fighting. It didn't matter if it was anger. It didn't matter if it was women. It didn't matter if it was disobedience. It didn't matter if it was food. He just had a problem with self-control. And so, this whole idea of being with Delilah, Delilah tricked him into giving up a secret. And as he gave up that secret, then some things happened, but he was so in love with Delilah, or in lust with Delilah. And as he was, he really got comfortable with her. Here's a Philistine woman in a land where he was trying to be captured. He gets so comfortable with her that he lets his guard down. He literally falls asleep in her lap. Now that's trust. That's somebody that I mean, you're in the land of your enemies and you fall asleep in somebody's lap. That is super duper trust. How many of y'all have animals? Anybody have dogs? Cats aren't necessarily like this, but dogs certainly are. You know, anybody ever have little dogs or maybe big dogs? I can see one of yours doing this, but let you hold them or hold them, right? And they let you put them on their back and they can rub their tummies. That's a dog that trusts you. That's a dog that is submissive. Samson laid on his back in Delilah's lap and exposed the vulnerabilities of his life. And as he was laying there, they cut his hair off because that was the secret of his strength. Now, it wasn't his hair, like the physical hair. It was why his hair looked the way it did. It was because of his faith. Right, his faith gave him his strength. He didn't cut his hair because he was trying to be faithful to his calling as a Nazirite, and his faithfulness is where he got his strength. The hair was just a symbol of it. He lost his strength. They took him captive. They put him in prison, and they gouged out both of his eyes. His eyes is what they saw was part of his problem, where he could see and do, and they gouged him out, and so now he's blind. And so here we are at the life of Samson and all of us. What can we learn from this? Number one is don't fall asleep in the lap of your wife or your eyes are going to get gouged out. I'm just kidding. Depends on what you did to her that day. It might happen, it might not, right? No, is the first thing is what Samson didn't have, right? What Samson didn't have is this idea of boundaries. See, Samson was strong, but here's what I'm going to talk about in a positive strength for us. Our faith is what makes us strong. But how do we maintain that faith? How do we maintain our strength? We have to have boundaries. Samson didn't set boundaries. Right. Matter of fact, he violated every boundary that he had in his faith, in his family, and in his personal life. Number one, he violated the first boundary by just not doing what God called him to do, and that was to be faithful within his own family of faith, right? His Christian heritage, his God heritage, and just date and marry, right, within his family of faith. And so it's a simple answer. It's not an easy task, but he went outside of that. And here's what we know in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or fellowship has light with darkness? See, Samson knows God and he's going to people that don't even believe in God. And that's what God warned him about. That's what he told his parents. Be sure and tell him not to do this. Be sure and tell him as a Nazirite, as a Christian, not to do that, because it just causes problems, right? It causes hurt and it causes heartache and it causes strife. Don't do that. But not only did he do that, but when he saw the first non-believer that he wanted to go out with, right? Everybody with me? Family sermon here today, right? As he saw this other woman, he went to his parents and said, "Get that girl for me." Well, I mean, they knew this was not right. God had told them individually while she was pregnant, don't let him, tell him not to marry outside the faith. Tell him not to go beyond the Christian faith, was what we know as the Christian faith. Yet he did. He didn't deserve the boundary of honor your mother and your father. He wanted to them to break the rules for him, right? And then he went out and he went and did those things with women that were not of faith. So, I mean, and it just went on and on from there. And by the way, he created a stumbling block for them, right? He was a Christian, he knew, but he said, well, I don't want to follow the rules, but I want you to help me not follow the rules, so I want you to sin too, right? He did all sorts of things. That's not what we were supposed to do. 1 Corinthians 10:32 says, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God. All of us, right? And his mom even pleaded with him. Moms, are y'all ready? Listen to this. Judges 14:3. Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among your people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? I mean, she's like, this is not good. This is not good. And for all you children out there, this just proves that mothers know best. Because she did. She knew. And she was trying to convince him. And yet, he said, nope, go get her. See, the boundaries set by us are not necessarily always physical boundaries, but they're boundaries of the heart. They're spiritual boundaries. They're boundaries of the mind. They're boundaries of our eyes. They're boundaries of our ears. We've talked about this. I don't want to go into this too long, but I mean, things we see, things we hear, things we watch, right? What we listen to on the radio, what we listen to in news, what we listen to of friends, all the different things, those influences, and we need those kinds of boundaries. And I said earlier, good things even distract us. Just quickly, I got asked to serve on a financial institution board of directors. And everybody kept saying, man, this is going to be a great resume stuffer. You should really do this. And I'm like, I mean, do you know what I do for a living? I don't need a resume stuffer. I mean, I don't need to add anything to a piece of paper. This is what I do. This is my calling. Yeah, but you're gifted in finances, and they need a good godly influence and all these things. And I just said, the answer to that is no. I mean, it's a great calling, and it's a good thing to do, but no, I'm not going to do that. Also had an ulterior reason to say no, is they weren't going to pay for my travel or for my lodging or for my food. It was going to cost me money to be on this board. I was like, that's just not my calling. It sounds fun. I would love to be in the boardroom and do all these things, but that's just not my calling. This is my calling. This is what I'm called to do. I had a boundary there. But ask yourself this. Are you doing it to please yourself? Are you doing it to please others? Are you doing it to please God, regardless if it pleases yourself or others? It might do those other two things, but really, you have an audience of one. God. That's the only person that you need to be really living your life for. I don't live my life for all of you, even though you're the audience. I live my life for God, and you just get to be a part of that. And then the second thing is strong people of faith, right, have strong motives, right? And this idea of having strong motives is what is the motivation that you have? And it's really easy, and it really is easy. Your motivation ought to be 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Because God loves us, we should be motivated to love others. We should be motivated to love others in our job, in our family, in our neighborhoods, right, in our schools, all those things. And in that motivation, that's why we do what we do. That's why we work where we work. I know they give us a paycheck, and you may agree or disagree with the paycheck. You may agree or disagree with the people you work with, but your motivation should be your calling, right? That calling to love others and to be in relationship with others. But also on that is that idea of strong people. When we're doing those things, when we're loving others, when we're setting boundaries, we do it because we're connected to our calling. And this is where Samson really failed. He was called to be a child of the one true king. He was called to be a child of God. He was called to be a servant. He was called to be a judge. He was called to be a Nazarite. And really, all he responded to was the call to be a womanizer, a call to be a warrior, right? And not even a righteous warrior. He just liked to pick fights, right? He just liked to show his strength. He didn't even really care how good he looked. He just wanted the demonstration how good he thought he was. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to stay connected to our calling because he had passions, but his passions weren't his strengths. Did you hear me? I have passions. Y'all have heard me talk about the stock market. You've heard me talk about investing. I even get asked to be on these boards for this kind of stuff. That's not my calling, though. It's not my strength. My passion is my calling to be a pastor. And that's where I find my strength. And that's where God invests his time and energy in me. Because it was a lack of calling in Samson's life. That's where he failed. He didn't connect to his calling. And you might say right now, I don't know what my calling is. Well, that's because, number one, you're not asking God. And number two, just like Samson, you're not listening to those people around you that know what your calling is. Because you might say, that's not my calling. And the other 99 people in the room are going to say, no, that is your calling. We all know it. We all feel it. We all see it. And you just may not like it. I had a friend this week. We were talking about procrastination. Who are the procrastinators in the room? I thought I saw you at the meeting last week. Yes. The procrastinators in the room. And he was talking about, he goes, even though he was telling me all the things he was doing, and I said, you're at the grocery store right now? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, I'm just procrastinating on these other things I need to be doing. I said, okay. He said, you know, when it came time for finals when I was in college, he said, I had the cleanest apartment in Lubbock, Texas. Some of y'all don't get that. He didn't want to study. He didn't clean his apartment all year long, but when finals came, boy, he loved cleaning his apartment, right? Procrastination. See, we can't procrastinate in our calling. Listen, you are all called. The number one thing you're called to is to be holy. And I know none of you like this. When I say that you are holy because God is holy, you're all like, nah, that's too much for me. There's no way I can be holy. I can show you. Time and time and time and time again in Scripture. It tells me and you over and over and over again in this book right here, God's Word, that you are holy because God is holy and because God lives in you by the power of His Holy Spirit. Yes, you are, and you're called to be that. Here's what I say. When you say, I just don't really think I'm holy, it's because you don't want to be. Because we are all just like Samson. If we're called to be different, which is that holy and set apart, see, this says, the Lord said, I am the Lord who made you holy, right? You're made holy in Christ Jesus. Well, that means you have to act different. Sorry. It means you have to be different. You have to do those things that God's called you to do. And for Samson, cutting his hair, that was the easy one. It was all the other things. See, coming to church and coming to worship and being a Christian, the name, that's easy. Doing all the things that come along with it so the rest of the world knows, that's the hard stuff. Can you imagine Samson, a Nazarite, a Christian, a God-fearing man, and he walks into the Philistine city of Gaza, and he's looking for a prostitute, and everybody's going, oh, there goes a great Christian man. That's not what they said. No, that's not what they said. But that's how he lived his life, and that's the way some of us live ours. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, that idea of your calling is so, so important. You need to know it. And you might be in grade school, you might be in middle school, you might be in high school, you might be a full-grown adult, you might just be trying to figure it out in life, but your calling is what's going to get you through in life. You need to figure that out. You need to understand that. And it all begins with asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do in life? Who do you want me to be? How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to function? And now here's the second thing. It may change a little bit over life, okay? It may change over your lifetime, but for the time being, what is your calling? And it may or may not be your profession, by the way. It may or may not be tied to your family. Now, there are sub-callings. Boy, I'm getting off the text. Some of you are called to be moms and dads. Some of you are called to be husbands and wives. Some of you are called to be different things. But you have a particular calling. What is it? And where are you to go? And this is where I check myself. Do all three of those line up? Do the boundaries I have in my life, right? Do the motivations of my actions, my love, and does the calling of my life, do those line up? And when those line up, that's when everything goes according to his plan in my life and for yours, because we are a part of this together. And so strong people, right? Strong people have boundaries, and strong people have the right motivations in God, and strong people have the understanding of their own calling, and we function in that calling. So today, think about that. Think about your calling and what that means. And for you, I think when I say calling and when I say holy, I think you automatically think of all the people on church staff. Like today, me, Ashley, and Dallas. Well, Dallas is called, right, to be a music pastor, right? He's called to be a worship leader. Ashley's called to be a children's pastor. You're called to be a preacher. You know, those kinds of things. True, true, and true. We're all called to be ministers. We're all called to be a part of the royal priesthood of God's kingdom. Every one of you has a calling. Somebody just over the last couple of weeks, just today, they just signed up for a new volunteer position, and that's their calling right now. Right? That's just part of who they are, to be a servant in the church. But it's a particular place. Right? You have one. It may be here. It might be somewhere else. But you have one. But here's what I want to say to you is you have to ask for it over and over and over again. Even as a pastor, I know that there are seasons in life, just like for Dallas and just like for Ashley. Right? Lord, is this where you still want me to be? Is this what you still want me to be doing? Dallas and I say this all the time. Not all the time. We have this conversation occasionally. I don't ever want somebody to tell me that it's time to go. You know, I want to know. I want to know when the next chapter is. I want to know when the next season is. I want to know when we need to do something different. I don't want to be Samson and the community come to me and go, we need to bind you up and we need to take you away. You don't want that. You want to know your life. And so here's my prayer for us today. As we take communion, and this is the Lord's table. I know there's some guests here today, but you are invited to partake with us. Is that when Jesus looked at the disciples and he was talking to them and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Boy, Jesus was trying to explain his calling. They saw him as a healer. They saw him as a prophet. They saw him as somebody that raised people from the dead. He saw them as somebody who was forgiving their sins. He saw them as all these different people which truly was part of his calling, part of his characteristic as being God made flesh, but he was saying, this is my calling, to sacrifice myself for you so that you can be forgiven for your sins, so that you can have eternal life. He said, this is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins and for the many. He said, as often as you eat and drink this, do this in remembrance of me. I know Samson didn't know Jesus, but he knew God, and he had lost sight of this. He had lost sight of who God was and who God had called him to be. I'm calling us back, Lord Jesus. My prayer today is, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would come back to our calling, or that we would come back to who you desire us to be, not just as a community and a people of God and a faith in Lubbock, Texas, or wherever we live, but Father, that we would return to the true calling of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that we would follow you, that we would create boundaries in our lives, Lord, godly hedges, godly guardrails to keep us safe and to keep us focused. Lord, take these elements of bread and juice, Lord, and let them be for us a representation of the body and the blood of Christ to transform not just ourselves, but as we are a reflection of you, to be transformation agents in the world around us, in our families, our homes, our places of business, our communities, our schools. Everywhere we go, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Lord, I hope in our hearts at least, Lord, that we brought it all to the altar today, to the table. Lord, the sacrifice of the things in life that we need to turn over to you. And Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, just not sift through the ashes of all of that stuff and try to find our thing and pick it back up and try to put it back together. And Lord, that we would leave it knowing that, Father, you consumed it in your holy fire. Father, in this communion, Father, we are abiding in this love, the motivation that you have. Father, it said, for you so loved the world, you loved us, that you gave us Jesus. Lord, let us take that. Let us that be our call this week as we go into the world. Father, I make my prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Before we close in our last song today, pastoral privilege, I don't do this very often, but we have a new teenager in the room, Dallas's daughter. Where's Ella? Is she back there? Turned 13 yesterday. Yeah, so a new teenager. And then, yay! She made it.
It's just beginning.
And then, well, okay, get ready to give me another one. And Macy's 21 today. She made it. Yeah. All right, in the name, let's do this last song. Do you have another song or is this it? All right, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, receive this blessing. It's in His name that we go into the world to show the world our strengths that are our passions given to us by God and in Christ Jesus. Set those boundaries, live within them, check your motivation, and then stay true to your calling. Figure out what that is and live in it. And all the people said, amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.